it's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Devonier. Coming up in this hour, comedy from two big comedians of the day. Later on, we hear The Bob Hope Show from 1953. But right now, it's Joan Davis time, a popular comedian in her own right. In this broadcast from April 17th, 1948 on CBS, she's joined by comedy and radio pioneer Rudy Vallee.
Operator. Operator, will you please give me the correct time?
Certainly, sir. It's Joan Davis time.
Sure. It's Joan Davis time.
Well, there's no question about it. From coast to coast, it's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
During the time you spend with Joan Davis tonight, you'll hear the voice of her special guest, the famous singing star, character actor, and television tycoon, Rudy Vallee. Plus a great supporting cast featuring Lionel Sander, Hans Conried, Mary Jane Croft, the music of John Rarick's orchestra, the Choral Air Singing Quintet, and yours sincerely, Ben Gates. The chorus greets Joan with a happy ditty and sings, "Look at her, ain't she pretty?" And now it's time to meet the star of our show, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis.
And hi, everybody.
Hi, Joanie. Well, friends, with warm summer days coming on and business slowing up in the tea room, we find our gal Joan Davis with more and more time on her hands. And more time to Joanie means more telephone conversations with her girlfriend, Mabel. If you don't believe me, listen.
Oh, don't get mad, Mabel. The reason you didn't get me on the phone was because I was out shopping for a new spring suit. See the prices they're asking for things nowadays. The suit I liked had an $8 price tag on it. What? That's not expensive. Mabel, you don't understand. The price tag was $8.
Who knows what the suit cost?
Well, anyhow, I finally bought an inexpensive little dress. Cute, though. It has big buttons all the way down the back. I'm sure I'll love it as soon as I learn to sit sideways. What'd you do last night, Mabel? Oh, you went out with your boyfriend, Herbert. What? You mean to say Herbert actually popped the question and you said no? But why? Oh, wrong question. Don't ask me if I got false teeth either. Oh, well, I'd like to talk to you some more, Mabel, but I'm going to the movies. Yeah, I think I'll phone the neighborhood theater around the block and see what's playing. Goodbye, Mabel. Gosh, I hope they have something good at the Bijou for a change. They usually have the most...
Good afternoon, Bijou Theater.
Hello, what do you have on this afternoon?
Oh, just an old cotton dress. It's a hot day.
Look, I mean, what's playing at your theater today?
Oh, we have Bingo, Keno, Three Dishes, The Three Camps on a New Car, two full-length features, a special preview of a major picture, a Donald Duck cartoon, a travel picture about beautiful Bally, a special documentary short on Columbia River salmon, the latest March of Time, candy, popcorn, and peanuts in the lobby, and a nursery upstairs to leave your children.
What, no television in the lounge? Gosh, with all that stuff, I'd probably be in there for hours.
Hours? Oh, madam, our complete show runs 4 days.
Well, what's the main feature?
Oh, the main feature. It's at a Technicolor Western starring Wild Bill Elliott.
Gee, he's brave, that Wild Bill Elliott.
Yeah, ain't he, though? Say, I wonder why they call him Wild Bill.
Well, gosh, if you were a man, went through a whole picture helping a beautiful girl, and then had to wind up in the last scene kissing your horse, you'd be wild, too.
What's the picture about?
As the picture opens, you see this cowboy riding along on a horse strumming a guitar.
Which hoof does the horse strum the guitar with?
Well, there's this cowboy. Suddenly sees a stagecoach being held up, and he chases the bandits away. And then this beautiful girl from the East, who has just inherited a cow ranch, steps out, and she thanks this cowboy.
Yeah, I know. And then it turns out that some crooks are trying to get the ranch away from her, but the cowboy saves it for her and puts the crooks in jail, and then he rides off again on his guitar strumming his horse.
That's right. Did you see the picture this week?
This week? I've seen it for the last 20 years. Five. Oh, gosh. I may as well go downtown and see one of the new pictures. Say, Glenn Ford is starring in a picture at the Vogue, and he's so handsome and... Yeah. That's where I'll go. Gee, what a swell picture that was. Oh, that Glenn Ford. What a man. Believe me, I wish there was a Glenn Ford in my future. Well. Oh, here's the tea room. Gosh, I forgot to tell my manager, Lionel, I was going to the movies. Oh, well. Hi, Lionel.
Hiya, boss. It's about time you showed up. You had a visitor. Your old employer, Rudy Valley, dropped in.
What? Rudy was here? You mean Rudy Valley himself? The Rudy Valley?
That's what I said, Rudy Valley. The man that Perry Como, Andy Russell, and Dick Haynes are all descended from.
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry that I missed him.
Oh, still carrying that old torch for Rudy, huh, boss?
Yeah, but it's been hopeless. Rudy's love has always belonged to someone else. It's just been an eternal triangle.
It has?
Yeah. Rudy, me, and Rudy. I finally stepped aside.
What?
I said I finally stepped aside and let Rudy have himself.
See, you mean Rudy's conceited?
Oh, no, Lionel. Conceit is when a person stupidly loves himself.
Well, ain't that what Rudy does?
Oh, no. With him, it's the real thing. Oh, but, gosh, I'm so sorry that I missed him.
Well, you can relax. He said he'd be back in an hour, which means he's due any time now. Say, where you been all afternoon?
I went to the movies.
Oh, yeah? What picture you see?
Oh, it was called The Mating of Millie. And, oh, I just loved it. What a handsome guy that Glenn Ford is. Yeah. And he was dressed so terrific, Lionel. Black shoes, argyle socks, striped suit, 32 stripes in it, polka dot tie, 64 dots on it, brown hair, 7 waves in it, 4 on the left side and 3 on the right. See, I wonder why they cast a fella like that opposite a tall brunette like Evelyn Keyes.
Boss, Evelyn Keyes is short and blonde.
Lionel, who notices details?
Well, what was the picture about, boys?
Well, this Keyes girl and this handsome Glenn Ford get married.
Uh-huh.
Only they're not really married. I mean, even though they live in the same house, they don't have anything to do with each other.
I don't get it. You mean they get married, but they never get romantical?
No, you see, it's a marriage of convenience.
With a dame like Evelyn Keyes, I could put up with a little inconvenience.
You don't understand, Lionel. The reason it's a marriage of convenience is because she only married him to have this little girl.
Oh, she wants to have a baby, you mean?
No, she wants a child that's about 7 years old already.
Boy, think she's driving convenience a little too far.
Look, what I mean is she wants to adopt this little girl, but the law says she's got to have a husband first. That's the part of the picture. Can you imagine anything like that ever happening in real life?
Nah. Well, those strange things do happen sometimes in real life. Take my Uncle Harry, for instance. He married a woman who weighed over 600 pounds.
Gee, what made him go for her?
Well, he'd lost a fortune in real estate and couldn't get used to not owning lots of property.
Well, anyway, I can't picture any person marrying another person just so he or she can adopt a baby. I just can't believe it. It's so unreal and so... Gee, look.
Look, it's Rudy Valley. Lionel, take care of the kitchen. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, boy.
Come on in, Rudy. Welcome. Welcome back.
Hi-ho, Joan.
Oh, gosh, Rudy, am I glad to see you. You always look good to me.
Oh, come, come, Joan. I don't always look this good.
No, I'm serious, Rudy. You just look marvelous. You're the same handsome Rudy Valley, same beautiful hair, same terrific profile. Gee, how do you do it?
Please, Joan, you know how I feel about talking about my look.
Yeah, go ahead. I got all day.
Joan, I'd rather talk about you. You're looking just wonderful yourself.
I am?
Yes, for your age, that is.
My age? Rudy Valley, you know very well how young I am. You were at my last birthday party, and you saw the cake with only 23 candles on it.
Yes, and down at the bottom it said, continued on the next cake.
You notice everything, don't you? Well, tell me, Rudy, how's your social life coming along? Are you still going with that red-haired girl, Marie?
No, I had to drop her. She did an unforgivable thing.
Yeah? What's that?
I caught her selling my phone number to Lana Turner.
Oh, I can't believe it. How could Lana afford it?
She had it financed.
Gee, Rudy, I was sort of hoping that, well, for old time's sake, we could go out together tonight. But then you have so many girls, I guess you can't make it.
Oh, I might be able to. You see, I accept cancellations up to 7 o'clock. Well, Joan, all jesting aside, there happens to be a specific reason for my sudden visit here today.
Yeah, there is?
Yes. Joan, brace yourself. I want to marry you.
Huh?
What does huh mean? Yes or no?
Huh means huh. But what do you mean when you say you want to marry me?
Joan, I need a wife in order to solve a certain legal question. It would be a marriage of convenience.
Gosh, and I said this could only happen in a movie. But Rudy, why pick me?
Well, you see, I have an unusual problem. The average girl who wants to marry me is the young, gorgeous type who is only interested in attention and affection. I need someone who won't bother me with all that stuff.
Rudy, tell me, you've been taking your vitamin pills upside down?
No, sideways. Joan, I'm serious. Will you marry me?
Oh, stop kidding me, Rudy.
I'm not kidding, Joan. Can't you see that I'm down on one knee in front of you?
So what? So what?
Well, what does it usually mean when a fellow gets down on one knee in front of you?
Well, gosh, up to now, all it's ever meant to me is a crap game, and he's got the dice.
So Rudy has proposed to Joan as a lesson to his teacher. Remember the quip. There's many a slip twixt the proposal and the preacher.
And in the meantime, lend an ear to this. My sin was loving you, not wisely, but too well. Your sin.
Friends, when Joni's old partner Rudy Valley came to visit her and suddenly proposed marriage to her, Joni just couldn't believe her ears. Well, we can't quite believe them either. And as for Joni, well, here she is, still stunned, surprised, and skeptical.
Gosh, Rudy, I still can't believe you've already asked me to marry you. After all, there's something so definite, so final, so permanent about marriage.
You haven't been in Hollywood very long, have you, my dear? Well, anyhow, I'll risk it if you will.
Gosh, imagine me married to Rudy Valley. He will settle down, and who knows, in a year or two, we might have children. Maybe even a cute little girl.
Joan, we don't have to wait for that.
We don't?
No, you see, we have a little girl already.
Huh? Would you mind repeating that last remark? And this time, enunciate clearly?
I said we already have a little girl. You see, several weeks ago, I entertained at an orphanage. While I was there, I saw the cutest little 6-year-old girl, and I decided to adopt her.
Oh, that's sweet. But what's that got to do with marrying me, huh?
Well, the superintendent of the orphanage told me to be much better for the child if she had a mother.
And naturally, your choice narrowed down to a woman.
Yes. Yes, and then the woman narrowed down to you.
Pretty narrow, ain't it? But, gosh, this is just like that picture I saw, The Mating of Millie. Here I am about to be the mother of a 6-year-old girl I haven't even seen yet. But what makes you think I'll be a good mother, Rudy?
Joan, I'm sure you'll be a good mother and a good wife, too. Why, I can just picture us in our little love nest, both of us after a good dinner, sitting in front of the fire, just we two alone.
Yes, and I'd bring you your hair curlers. And eyebrow tweezers.
Yes, and I'd bring you your pipe and slippers.
What a picture of bliss. But I still can't figure why you picked me instead of one of many glamour girls that you know.
Joan, dear, girls of the glamorous type wouldn't be motherly enough. They'd likely spend their time thinking of being attractive and going to beauty parlors to make themselves more beautiful.
And me?
You know better than to waste your time like that. Now, shall we get out to the city hall and get the license?
Well, Rudy.
Yes, Joan.
You got me.
That must be the license bureau over there, Joan.
Yeah, let's go.
Excuse me, old man, but is this where you issue marriage licenses?
Yeah, ain't it sickening?
Well, we'd like a license to get married.
Believe me, you are making a mistake.
We are?
Yeah, especially you.
Well, you sound as if you don't like marriage.
What to like? I had a girl once. We was very much in love. She promised that someday we would get married, and then she is playing a horrible trick on me.
What'd she do?
She married me. Believe me, many times I've said to her, listen, my little sauerkraut, we have made a mistake.
You call her your little sauerkraut?
Yeah, she gives me heartburn. No, take my advice, my friend. Turn back before it's too late.
Now, look here. How can you argue against marriage when you make your living issuing marriage licenses?
Mister, an undertaker makes money off people who are dead, but that don't mean he approves of their condition.
That sounds legal. But we still want to commit matrimony, don't we, Rudy?
Definitely. Now, will you kindly issue us a license?
Okay, I see I've been wasting my breath. Now, which one of you is going to be the groom?
I am the groom.
Schnook. What is your name, Liz?
Rudy Valley.
How tall are you?
5'11".
Color of eyes?
Brown.
Hair?
Beautiful.
Age?
31.
Where were you born? And don't lie about that one!
Why should I? I was born in a little house in Vermont, which is now an historic national shrine.
Okay, okay. Now the lady, if you'll pardon the expression. What is your name, please?
Joan Davis, and I have blue eyes and blonde hair.
Fine. Now, how old are you?
I'm 5'6".
Please, I said, how old are you?
I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Lady, you must answer my question. How old are you?
I'm trying to figure.
What are you trying to figure?
I'm trying to figure a way out of answering that question.
Ach, so lieber, I give up. Here's the license, and that'll be $2, please.
Very well, here's my dollar.
Well, now that you actually got the marriage license, how do you feel, boy?
Gosh, Lionel, I feel like, well, you know, Lionel, did you ever feel like you were flying through space?
Only once, when I looked at my gas tank with a lighted match.
Gee, Lionel, I do hope I make Rudy a good wife.
Oh, you will, boss. You're the type, and I got a little advice to help you, too.
What's it?
Always remember that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So when your husband Rudy comes home for dinner, try to have something special for him. You know, lots of surprises.
Okay, I'll surprise him. I'll take the labels off the cans.
What? You know something? You look awful tired. Why don't you just sit down and rest till Rudy gets back?
Maybe I will. This excitement has kind of worn me out at that.
I'll be in the kitchen if you want me, bud.
Okay, Lyle. Oh, I'm so tired. But as soon as my Rudy gets finished packing, we'll be on our way. Gee, I'll be Mrs. Rudy Valley. Oh. I wonder what it's going to be like being Rudy's wife. I wonder.
Oh, Rudy. Rudy, darling. Breakfast is ready.
Coming, sweetheart.
Ah, good morning, Joan, my dear.
Rudy, aren't you going to kiss me good morning?
Now, dear, you know how it is. Kissing spreads the cold germs, and I have to be very careful of my voice.
Okay, but at least let's pucker at each other.
I'd rather not. You see, pucker brings back unpleasant memories to me. In my youth, I once worked in a meat packing plant, tying up the ends of salami.
Oh, I see your point. Well, will you start breakfast now, dear?
Not yet, dear. First, I must take my pills. Let's see. My red pills, my blue pills, my chauffeur's pills, and, of course, my shocking pink pills.
Darling, I meant to ask you, what do all those pills do for you?
Nothing, but isn't the color scheme fascinating? And speaking of health, I wish you'd never leave the window open as you did last night, unless you wish to ruin my career.
Well, how can that ruin your singing career?
Well, if the room isn't stuffy, my nose opens up, and when I sing, you can't tell the difference between me and Arthur Godfrey. You must be more careful. The last time I sang, my voice wasn't up to standard.
That's right. You were singing the Whiffin' Poof song, and when you go to whiffin', your voice poofed. breakfast now, dear.
No, first I want to listen to my latest recording, which just came from the studio. Would you like to hear it, dear?
Why, I'd love to.
Then put a nickel in the jukebox and listen.
I cling to your touch, you know what I mean. I keep thinking of the one that I love, you know what I mean. Like a sunny day in Cuba, or a starry night in Maine. Spring's early this season, and you are the reason that I like to walk in the rain. Two hearts beat as one, and that can be fun. You know what I mean. If you'll only that you feel this way, I'll know what you mean. I've just confessed I love you and want you for my own. By the look in your eyes, your smile and your sigh, I know that you know
dear. That was wonderful. When you sing, my heart gets all stopped up. My breath gets stopped up, too.
Really? With me, it's my nose. Now, how about some breakfast? I'm as hungry as a wolf.
Well, that's natural. Here you are, dear.
Just a moment. Are you intimating that I'm a wolf?
Well, frankly, dear, I did see you yesterday at the corner winking at some girls.
That is a base canard. The fact is that the wind was blowing and a foreign object of some peculiar shape got into my eye.
Yeah, and she got into your car, too. breakfast, dear?
Oh, yes, breakfast. Darling, this is awful. What do you call this stuff, anyhow? Is this coffee?
Well, what does it taste like?
Vinegar.
Then it must be tea. The coffee tastes like soap.
Joan, my dear, I warn you that if our marriage is to be a success, you'll have to wake up to the fact that I'm a man who likes good food. You'll have to wake up to your husband's needs. You'll have to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up.
How does soup taste like strudel?
Joan, wake up.
Huh? Oh, what's the matter? Oh, Rudy. Rudy, you're back.
Yes, I came in and found you fast asleep.
Gosh, Rudy, I just had a dream about you and me being married, and I just don't think it'd work out, so let's forget it.
Forget it? Joan, I have a peculiar feeling. There's another man in your life.
There is?
Yes, and I can just imagine what he's like. Tall, dark, broad-shouldered, handsome, with lots of personality and money. Joan, I demand to know who the man is. What's his name?
Never mind his name. What's his phone number?
And now here's Joni again.
Well, Rudy, I know you don't like the word swell, but honest, it was really swell having you with us tonight.
Yes, it was, quotation marks, swell, unquote, wasn't it? And despite the fun we had with the subject of marriage, I want everybody to know that I really look upon marriage as a beautiful thing. A union of two hearts. A union of two minds. A union of two souls.
Yeah, but wait till you have to pay those union dues. Oh, well, good night, Rudy, and goodbye now.
Don't forget, there's more good fun and music coming at you next week, Coast to Coast, when Joni will greet the return of another of our old pals and radio favorites, Harry Von Zell. So remember, if anybody asks you what time it is next week at this time, tell them it's Joan Davis time.
It's Joan Davis time.
Joan Davis Time is produced and directed by Dick Mack and is written by Larry Marks and Arthur Stander with Chet Kessler. Rudy Valley may currently be seen in George Stevens' production, I Remember Mama. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Joan Davis Time on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of April, 1948 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up next, The Bob Hope Show from the 7th of January, 1953, with special guest comedian Jack Benny, who appears in a parody of one of Bob Hope's road pictures, The Road to Bali. It was the sixth of seven motion pictures featuring Bob, Bing Crosby, and Dorothy L'Amour having a comedy adventure. You'll hear a satire next on The Bob Hope Show.
Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you we're having wonderful weather out here in California. Nobody knows whether it's spring, summer, or just a big hole in the smog, but it's real nice. Smog can get pretty thick. It lifted in our neighborhood the other day, and we discovered the vacant lot next door is now called the May Company North Hollywood. Yeah, it's a wonderful time of the year. This is the time of the year when the kids begin asking questions about the birds, the bees, and Zsa Zsa. This is the time of the year everyone gets that certain feeling. I was in a drive-in theater the other night, and the actors stopped acting and just watched the couples in the cars for a while. The warm weather has affected everybody. The other night on Dragnet, Jack Webb was driving the patrol wagon with the top down.
You know, the local papers have been running the same weather report fair and sunny every day for 6 days now. They've had to run the same report. The weatherman got lost in the fog on the way to work.
No, I spent Sunday on the beach, and in the first 20 seconds, I had a beautiful tan. It was very becoming, but it's the last time I help anyone pull the cork out of his coffee thermos. I had it with cream and sugar yet. Everybody was at the beach. It was so crowded down there, I could only get one little spot of sunburn, and I wouldn't have gotten that if the lady next to me hadn't had a pierced ear. I've never seen such crowds. The beach was so crowded, I swam for an hour before I even got to the water. But I love to relax on the sand and watch the beautiful girls taking a sun bath. They have to relax. In those bathing suits, they break the law if they move. I won't say the gal's suits are skimpy this year, but when a girl drops her handkerchief, she isn't flirting, she's in trouble. A lot of the girl's suits are made of DuPont nylon. I finally realize what DuPont means when they say better things for a better life through chemistry. And I want to tell you, that's the snootiest beach down there. You know how they said make you take a shower before you can go into the pool? Well, they made me take one before they let me into the bathhouse. I swam around in the ocean from 1 p.m. until after dark. I didn't intend to, but I was wearing one of those plastic bathing suits, and I found out it dissolves in water. But I had a wonderful time. I drove down to the beach, and just to give you an idea how the traffic was, I've been in heavy traffic before, but it's the first time I ever locked bumpers, and they were both mine. California's jammed with tourists, too. I passed 50 cars from other states. That's how I knew they were from other states. They let me. Yes, sir, there are a lot of out-of-state cars on the road. You can tell by the pictures on the license plates. Idaho has a potato, Iowa has an ear of corn, and California has a roller bandage and a splint. And there's a big difference between the traffic in the east and in the west. Back east, everyone drives as though they know where they're going. Out here, they drive as though they know where they're going. They've already picked out the pallbearers. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's get on with our show.
Hiya, fellas.
Well, Margaret Whiting. Margaret, it's wonderful having you on our show.
Well, thank you, Bob.
No, I mean it. I've enjoyed your singing on many occasions. It's refreshing to find someone so gifted in voice and at the same time so delightfully charming.
Gee, Bob, what graceful manners. You know, when I took this job, I didn't know I was going to meet someone from the old world.
Over? That's the nicest compliment I've ever been stabbed with.
Well, Bob, I didn't mean it that way.
I know you didn't, Maggie. I'm very glad you're with us because you're going to be a great help as our singer. That's what we want. New people, new approach, new thoughts, new music, new ideas. Hello, Bob? Who are you?
Your old band leader.
You're fired. Now, where were we? Oh, sorry, Les. I was carried away for a minute. Maggie, this is Les Brown.
How do you do?
How do you do, Maggie? I've enjoyed your singing on many occasions. It's refreshing to find someone so gifted in voice and at the same time so delightfully charming.
Les, I just said that.
I know, Bob, but I wanted to hear how it would sound with a better delivery.
Back to the band, Les. Your air pressure is leaking.
Crazy, Dad.
Well, Bob, I know I'm going to enjoy working with Les.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Oh, excuse me, Maggie. Come in. Hello, Bob. Jack Benny. Wow. Gee, this is great, Jack.
Oh, don't mention it, Bob. I figure the least a person can do to honor an old friend is to drop in and pay his respect.
Well, I'm still warm, you know. Phil, you sound like the advance man for Forest Lawn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean that the way it sounded.
Oh, forget it. I really appreciate your coming over here, as busy as you are with radio, television, counting.
I'm a guest, and I haven't had a joke yet. Oh, it's nothing, Bob.
Yes, it is. I'm really touched. Jack, you're a genuine person. You think of other people.
True, true.
You're the type of guy who'll go a long way for his friends.
True.
You're good and kind and considerate. I know that if I asked you, you'd give me every dollar you've got.
Whoops.
Well, you can kid about it if you like, but this is a very generous thing you're doing, Jack, dropping in at my show.
Well, Bob, there's a slight misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding?
Yes. I'm not here entirely on my own. You see, the head of the company sent me over here to supervise your show.
You supervise my show?
Now, Bob, look, don't get all worked up. Look at it this way. I've had a long and very pleasant relationship with the company, and you've just joined up. In a manner of speaking, I was here before you.
You were here before anybody.
I don't get paid for this either.
Well, really, Jack, you're pretty brave coming down here and telling me what to do. Things aren't going too well for your type right now. They caught Grandma, you know.
In my Charlie's Aunt costume.
What I don't understand is why they pick a guy like you to supervise my show. What have you got on the company?
Nothing, nothing. I merely help them in an advisory capacity. As a matter of fact, I was instrumental in your program being selected.
Oh, really?
Yes, the sponsor couldn't decide. Now, it was between you, Gabby Hayes Reviews the News. A dramatic show called Grace Jordan, Girl Frogman.
And you voted for me.
No, you were my second choice. I wanted Grace Jordan, Girl Frogman.
Then why didn't it go on?
We couldn't find a leading lady with webbed feet. I've yet to read a line that silly.
I've never had a line murdered like that.
So you see, Bob, I really have your worst, your best interest. And it would help matters if you'd cooperate.
All right, Supervisor, tell me what kind of a show you want, and I'll do it.
Well, I think it should be something startling and different. For instance, one of the things that really made people talk was that birth of a baby on television.
Well, don't be silly. How can I have a baby? I'm on radio.
Well, you can try.
Well, I've had enough of this, Jack. I'm going to call the head of the company and get this straightened out. Imagine them sending you over here, the big show business expert.
What do you mean by that?
I can tell you in five nasty words. The horn blows at midnight.
You got your money back.
And here is Maggie Whiting.
Here is a heart you can see. say, here is a heart for you only that you can keep or break. How else can I tell you? What more can I do? Why don't you believe me?
I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you.
Look out, here comes our cousin Rachel again.
Bob, I want to talk to you.
What is it, Jack?
Well, I've been sitting back there observing your show and making notes.
Well?
You know, neatness is a very important thing on a big show. For example, when was the last time you had that suit pressed?
Well, just this morning. Of course, I made the tailor hurry. His back room was drafty.
Bob, you can do that so much better at home. Now, I put my trousers under my mattress for a few hours, and they come out pressed perfectly. So why don't you try that?
My mattress doesn't weigh as much as yours. It's practically a branch of the Bank of America.
Hey, Jack, please don't tell me how to wear my clothes.
Bob, when Mr. Cleves, the head of the company, gets here, we'll settle this whole thing. Meanwhile, just proceed with your show. What are you going to do?
We're
going to
do The Road to Bally.
See, isn't that a rather crude title for a picture? Oh, Bally. B-A-L-I.
I made the same mistake. I thought they named the picture after Bing.
Bob, Mr. Cleves is here.
Oh, send him right in.
Hello, Bob.
Well, hello, Mr. Cleves.
Well, hiya, Jack.
Oh, well, Herbie, nice to see you. I've been wanting to apologize about those tickets I sent over. I'm sorry they were only on the 49-yard line. And let me know when you want to use our house at Palm Springs. We can move out at a moment's notice. Herbie, boy, you look wonderful, you old horse thief.
Anybody got a spoonful of bicarbonate?
Mr. Cleves, may I ask a question?
What was it you had in mind, Bob?
I don't understand why you sent Jack Benny down here to supervise my show.
Calm down now, Bob. Before you condemn Jack, let's hear what he has to say. Maybe he's got some ideas.
Well, I've got my notes right here, Herb, and just to make them clear, I sort of put them in the form of a report card.
Good. Let's hear it, Jack.
Well, first, there's effort. Bob, I've marked your show A+ for effort. You're all trying very hard.
Oh, thanks, teacher. Can I carry your head home from school?
Now we come to the heading, performance of star. Bob, I can't decide whether to mark you F- or L+.
F- or L+?
Yes, you're right between fair and lousy.
That knocks it, doesn't it?
Now, Bob, I want you to understand there's no professional jealousy in this.
Not much.
Now, Bob, let's not have any recrimination. Get on with the show.
Yes, sir. Tonight, we're going to dramatize The Road to Bally.
Oh, splendid. As long as Jack is here, why don't we have him play Bing Crosby's part?
Jack Benny play Bing Crosby? It's too unbelievable. It's like having a tub of butter play a tub of lard.
I think Jack should do the part, Bob. Can we get on with it?
Yes, sir. All right, Lettuce. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present The Road to Bali.
My name is Harold Gridley. I'm a soldier of fortune. I'm traveling with my buddy, George Cochran. He's a big, strong, handsome brute.
That's me, folks.
What an idiot. He's got all his marbles. The only trouble is he carries them in his pocket. Days out, the weather changed. The wind picked up. The waves got rough. And all of us on board were sick. But it wasn't the waves that made us sick. That night, the storm increased. Mountainous waves crashed over the ship. We were caught in a typhoon. The end was inevitable. It was morning when I woke up. In the distance, I could see barefoot natives walking around in rags. Could it be that I had landed at Santa Anita? I was lying on the sandy beach of a tropical island. Suddenly from the jungle, a native girl came walking toward me. She was beautiful. Dark eyes, flashing white teeth. And in her long, flowing hair, she wore gay red shells with a lobster still in them. Hello. Me boy. You girl?
Welcome to my island, friend.
Island?
Yes. The surface manifestation of a subterranean convolution entirely disassociated from any neighboring protuberance or excrescence.
Me boy. You girl?
Welcome, friend. I am Princess Lala. I will help you.
What happened to my ship?
Oh, I fear it went down with all on board. You are the only man to survive. In fact, you are the only man on this island.
Well, you mean I'm alone here with a lovely dish like you? Oh, this is my dream come true. Cast away in a desert island with the most beautiful girl I ever saw, and I'm the only man with no competition. Evelyn and her magic violin.
It would sound better, but I'm using an eel for a G-string.
Princess Lala, this is my friend, George Cochran.
George Cochran?
Yes, but my friends call me Zsa Zsa. Gee, Princess, you're gorgeous. You're a knockout. Just the way you look at me. My heart is pounding. I mean it, Princess. You're exquisite. You're adorable.
You like me?
Like you? Me boy, you girl? Well, the only way I can express it is... Woof! Woof!
At his age, you can't tell if that's passion or Alka-Seltzer.
Now look, Harold, I got just as much right to talk to the princess.
Yes, Shaja. What's that?
It's the cannibal tribe from the next island. Run, run.
Is Gene Krupa with them?
Too late. They got us surrounded.
Look, here comes the chief.
Onga donga hama hama lupa vanda ula bura. Wambadu hanga.
Oh, now look, chief, please don't kill us. I'm a very funny man. I can tell you jokes and keep you laughing all day long. Listen to this one. A musician was sitting in his apartment banging away at his piano. It was late at night and he was making a lot of noise, really beating it out. And the landlord walked in and said, "Hey, do you know there's a little old lady sick upstairs?"
And the musician said, no, but hum it. Chief, you don't want to kill me. My buddy here has a lot of meat on him.
Now, wait a minute. Look, Chief, I can make you happy, too.
Bunga?
Bunga Duba!
Oh, Chief, why did you do it?
Imba Higa Langa Dura Moka.
What did he say?
He said he had to kill Benny before he was a cannibal, Chief. He used to be a violin teacher.
Are all in for the job all of you are doing. Wherever you may be stationed, we'll always say thanks for the memory of a job well done. But I'd like to paraphrase an old saying again. It isn't whether it's big or small, but how you do your job. Remember, you can't make points without teamwork. And now the best of everything from all of us at home to all of you wherever you may be. We're behind you all the way. This is Bob Hope saying keep up the good work and so long for now.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned to Yesterday from January 7th, 1953 on NBC. That Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast closes this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.